I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey guys, welcome back to Soul Sisters. Jesse Katz here.
Dara Golub over here.
And we shouldn't even waste any time.
No, yeah, it's too much.
To have a member of Destiny's Child on Soul Sisters is a big one. Mm-hmm.
I think I recapped more details, like tiny little details from this podcast than ever before. Yeah. Like to friends and family, I was like, and then this.
I
and
was
then
beaming this after moment. This one.
Yeah.
Because Kelly Rowland is who we're talking about. Mm-hmm. She was just so present and talked about all the things that we could have ever wanted her to talk about and share. And she was passionate. And at one point, like, she apologizes for going on for so long. And we're both just like, no.
Like, we're both like
never
agape,
stop.
Like, what?
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah. Like, I was speechless at that point. I could have listened to her mm-hmm. forever. She's so cool. She's so lovely.
So lovely.
Really wise. She's like grappling with a lot of important, difficult topics in her music and in her life, raising a son and just trying to navigate the political climate that we live in and racial climate that we live in. And
we went all those places.
We went all those places.
Yeah. And she went all those places. We hardly even had to go there. She was.
Yeah.
She's ready.
And you know, you were in a situation like that, like, how much can we ask about Beyonce? What's the reaction when we bring up Beyonce? It's like, we don't want to annoy her, and we have enough to talk to her about herself. But like, we want to talk about everybody. And she was more than happy to tell us amazing things and like funny stories about Solange, like growing up around them. And
right.
Awesome.
The whole gamut. She's like so funny, articulate and thoughtful. And
yeah. And she wrote a book about motherhood and the.
Whoa, baby.
The devastation that it wreaks upon your body.
The untold
the real
stories
shit.
Of postpartum body
yeah.
image.
Yeah.
Or body issues.
Yeah. Yeah, it was super cool.
She's awesome.
Okay, so you guys don't want to hear us. You want to hear Kelly, and here she is. Yeah, and you have some serious Billboard history.
Yes, I do. Yo, okay, so Billboard was like one of the first lessons I got from Destiny's Child's manager way, way back in the day. I remember being taught about Billboard and, you know, what it is, like how cool it is. And
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like to understand like the bullets and you've moved up this high, greatest gainer, you know, all of
yeah.
that. And
top
I
of the
learned
charts.
Really early. Yeah.
I mean, I've worked here for a little bit now and I'm still understanding how the charts work. It's a very complicated system. But I think after this podcast, my colleague Trevor Anderson in the charts department is going to come over here with his number ones book because you have 5 entries in that book.
That's so cool.
That he wants you to sign for him.
Absolutely. That's
yeah.
so cool.
It's a pretty high distinction.
Yeah.
I think you're in very rare company up there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you
do you remember all of those number ones? Like, do you remember?
Do you know what they are?
Finding that. Yeah. Well, or that. Can
no,
you name them?
I don't. I can't name them. That's really bad. I need to.
There's 4 with Destiny's Child
mm-hmm.
and one is
and
yours,
the song with
Nelly.
With Nelly.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
Not bad, right? yeah, I mean,
I feel like you've had such a varied career with so many phases and so many accomplishments that if I do the math in my head, I feel like you should be in your 50s. But you're around the same age as us, so it's like
that's
very intimidating.
That's when we always start to feel like, oh, man.
I know. It's always hard to do that with somebody. You're like,
right, especially
well,
when they start diversifying.
So much, they got a like big head start on me, right? No, they just like did a lot really fast. Although you started very young, right?
Yes,
like when did music start for you? Or what do you, what's your earliest memory?
When I was five.
Yeah.
It was my first solo at church. And it was like, I remember standing on that chair because I wasn't, of course, tall enough. Uh-huh. And how great it was. How great it was to be up there and to be able to sing for people and how good I felt and how I knew that that was something that I wanted to do.
You had a solo in church at 5 years old?
Yes.
That's impressive.
Yeah, what song? Do you remember?
It was a very simple little gospel song. I want to walk. Can talk with Jesus. It's gospel.
Yeah.
But I did that voice because that's how I sound when I was a kid, like nasal.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it was really, really cute, though, when I think back at it.
Yeah, and you remember getting a good response in the church that encouraged
yes.
you?
Well, they were very encouraging.
Yeah.
Sing, baby. You know, somebody's mama back there going, yes, let's sing the dress. Sing with your little dress song. Sing, baby. So it was that
so
made me feel comfortable. Super encouraging.
Yeah, that's awesome. Were there any musicians in your family?
No.
Did you grow up around it at all?
No. Okay. I think my aunt said she sang, and but she like sang like with her friends. You know what I mean? But no, I was the first one in the family to do it. Yeah.
And did it translate into school too? Were there plays,
it
musicals?
Did. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It was musicals, and I remember being so excited and wanting to be so well prepared for them. I would rehearse everything till I knew it backwards. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. And so, like, you were with your mother, like, when you got into your later childhood years,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Was she encouraging you in your singing? And
super encouraging.
Was she talking to you about it as a potential career? Like, when did it become something in your mind that you could envision?
What do you even think about then? Star Search? Like, what's this? If you're a kid and you're so talented, what do you think you could possibly do?
Well, I mean, we just wanted to sing, and we wanted to sing together, and we wanted to sound good together, and we wanted it to be tight. And we, you know, tight, that's such a 90s song. But you know, we were looking up to groups like TLC and En Vogue and The Supremes and studying their tapes and, you know, things like that. So we wanted our own dose of success, but like they'd opened, you know, the doors for us to come through. So
Wow. And when did you and why did you link up with the Knowles family?
You mean professionally or just like personally?
Like personally, it was personal first.
Yeah, it
right?
was. Well, it was actually business first. Like me and B tried out for the. Well, she was already in the group, and then I got in the group, and you know, from there, I remember we went on Star Search, lost Star Search, and then we started to get focused again. And once we got focused. My mom was a nanny. Her job didn't allow her any, like, just, oh, you can just up and take her to rehearsals and things like that. She had to be with the family that she worked for.
Uh-huh.
So it was in my best interest in order to get the songs and the dance routines and things like that. I stayed at their house and B's house for a summer. Summer turned into years.
Yeah.
And, you know, I felt like in that time, like, I, you know, gained this new family. And that's what we are to this day.
Yeah, wow. Was your mom living with that family?
No, she... Okay. You know, she had her
she
own place.
Long hours.
Yeah,
so you were in the same town.
Yes, absolutely, same town, same town. And the most interesting thing about it was, you know, we were able to always see each other. As soon as she was off, whether it was just in time to come and tuck me into bed, or we hung out over on weekends and things like that. Like, you know,
but that's you must have felt like a professional person.
I did
at that time.
I did.
So you have been doing this as a career since. So what was that? 12?
Yes.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you got to have a childhood?
Of course. Actually, they made sure. Tina and my mom, they made sure that we had a childhood. We were like at Astroworld on the weekends and, you know, hanging out with our friends, you know, and going like having slumber parties and things like that. Yeah, definitely had a childhood.
Given the extreme success and like the stages that you were on so early, it seems like you guys had a pretty well-adjusted time.
Yeah,
like
we
relatively.
Did.
Yeah,
we did. I mean, I must admit, like, you know, once I can't speak for anybody else, but once I grew up and like was out of the house and I was 21, Uh-huh. It was real turn up time, but I still had to, you know, I still had to make sure like I was responsible, and I was, that was very important to me. Actually, we were taught that at a very young age because Solange was coming up under us. So we had to be good role models for her.
Yeah.
So that's what we always heard. And I think it was ingrained in our brain. So we couldn't or had no time and had crazy enough parents that they would come and wring our necks. Didn't matter how old we were. They would whoop us in public. If
you had, good parents, like good role models for that.
I was wondering if Solange was like the annoying little sister who was hanging on when you guys were young back then.
No, I remember early on, like before DC came out and we were like, you know, getting new girls for the group. It was me and B, of course, in the group. And we had to find me, B, and Latavia. And we had to find one more person. And these girls auditioned. And I remember Solange sitting there. And this one girl came in. She sounded terrible. And Solange, you see her little face in the camera look at the girl. And look at us and look at the girl. And then look up at her and go, like, this is not going to work. But she's always had that, you know, a part of her, just that spirit. Like, and I love that about her. It's one of the qualities of her. I really am, I'm impressed always.
Yeah, what do you think about what she's doing now?
I think that it's always been there. Everybody's just finally taking notice.
Totally.
Yeah.
I know, but the music's so good
now. The music's just on another level. I think what I love the most about hearing her talk, you know, briefly about the record in passing was she said, I finally feel like I have something to say. And when she said that, it rang so loud in my ear because, you know, sometimes you just put together a record just to put together a record because people expect it from you. But if you have nothing to say behind it, then you're not the one of the greatest. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're not Paul McCartney. You're not Stevie Wonder. You're not Marvin Gaye. You're not, you know what I mean? Like the Beatles, you're not these people who really are, you're not Outkast. You know what I mean? Like they have something. You're not Kendrick Lamar with this new record. I know he's about to drop something crazy on our head. But you know what I mean? You have to have something to say. So it actually, that kept ringing in my head for my new record. And because I was just about to record and I said, I want to have something to say. And I thought about it, I was recording, and I finally have my message. And that's the best feeling in the world. And it feels like the beginning. It makes you feel like the beginning again.
Yeah.
Like I remember when Destiny's Child locked in on the writings on the wall as a sound. And I was like, that's mine. It's such a good feeling to know that that sound just sounds like you.
Yeah.
You know?
So when's the last time you felt like this?
Woo! When I did Motivation.
Okay.
When I did When Love Takes Over with David. I knew nothing. Nobody had anything that sounded like that hadn't been done in a very long time. You know, soul with dance. Like, to that magnitude, it felt like something bigger than me. And it proved itself when it was number one in more than, 15 countries. So, like, it's a blessing to have that moment.
Right.
And to feel that again. Yay!
Yes, amazing.
Yes.
So was it a combination of, is it motherhood? Is it the times we're in?
Yes.
Like, what got you to that place?
So exactly what you said, motherhood. And feeling the responsibilities for my son to see me be bold.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think that's what it takes. That's what all those artists I mentioned earlier did. Mm-hmm. Like, they were bold in their sound. And, you know, just felt like I have to be true to me, and I have to be true to lyric. I have to be true to what's going on around me and not pretend like it's, you know, it's not happening. Right. It's happening and it's right before my eyes. I'm raising a black boy in America and making sure that, you know, he knows who he is before he leaves the house. Like, we have a great surrounding of people. I got my girlfriends who are supportive. I'm supporting other women. Like, all these different things and issues that are happening right now are real and they're right before us. We're supposed to hear it in music because when it's in music, it affects us in a way every day, the way DC did with independent women.
Yep.
I'll never forget performing. Sorry, I'm digressing.
This is amazing.
Here, but I'll never forget performing in the Middle East and doing Independent Women and Survivor, and we were so ramped up about it because of, like, you know, what was going on over there at that time, and the women, you know, basically we were told that they were told to be quiet and you know, to just be women. You know what I mean? And we were mad.
Oh my God.
So we performed that song with so much vigor and passion. And we were just, it was crazy. We were like, I was like, are you tired? Because I'm tired. Like, completely out of breath. But that's what music is supposed to be. And, yeah. and I think that's why I'm so excited about the new record, because it's just amped me up.
Wait, oh, so what's the status on the new record?
I mean, I have to finish it.
Yeah,
but,
okay.
I have to finish it. But I've called on some really great people to help me. I don't want to say yet.
Yeah.
But I've called on some really great people because I knew that it was lyrically, I just wanted to say some things that had wit and but humor at the same time. I think that's what I love the most about, like, Watch the Throne.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wanted to have lyrical form in some ways, and in some songs, like the way Jay delivers. Like, I just love how it is. It's
yeah.
just, you know what I mean?
Right.
It pushes and provokes thought and conversation, and I love that.
Uh-huh. And yeah. as far as message goes, can you articulate a particular message on that album?
One, I remember the day that the Women's March happened.
Yeah.
And I remember—
Did you march?
Where
were you?
No, I was out of— I was actually on a plane and coming back to the studio, so I missed the march in L.A.
Uh-huh.
And I remember them trying to make space for me as well. It was so many people in L.A. It's like 800,000 people or something crazy. And I came in too late to join. Mm-hmm. So anyways— I got in the studio that evening and I was so amped up, and the producer's just laughing at me going, Kel, it's okay, you have to calm down. And I was like writing everything down, and like I was thinking about my recent trip to the African American History of Museum and Culture,
mm-hmm.
and there were women on Money. Did y'all know that we were on Money?
No.
And how, after all these years, are we just not on Money anymore?
What was it?
Yes, go to the museum. I'm telling you, we were on Money, and I was looking at all this money that women are on, and I'm like, oh no, how the hell we get off of there? Like, you know
when
what I mean?
Was
we make—
that's
the world exactly.
In this country?
Yeah, in this country. We make the world go round too, and in other countries. So it was
in
just
Sacagawea, right?
Yes,
right?
It was just really incredible to see, because I've never seen that before. So how crazy is it that was just erased, you know,
yeah.
from our memory?
Oh,
no, no one really knows about it, but that museum is incredible in itself. So I literally walked through there, and that's what inspired even more thought of the record. I called the producer and the writers who are helping me pull it together. I kept calling them and like sending them different messages, because I was just being fed and inspired so much.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting. I feel like it probably is going in a different direction given the election, you know, and so that must be weird.
It is, because, you know, it's so funny, because now we have a very outspoken president, you know what I mean? And he just has this, I guess he thinks it's playtime, you know what I mean, when it comes to just taking time out for Twitter, when there are way bigger issues, pressing mm-hmm. issues. Like, when I'm really busy, I have no time for Instagram. And I love Instagram. You know what I mean? And I love Snapchat, but I have no time in that moment because I'm too busy being creative or too busy talking to people. You know what I mean? You must have a lot of things to do running the country and all.
You would think. Yeah.
But, I mean, for me, you know, I said, you know, I want to really approach this in a smart way. To where I get my point across, to where it's not angry.
Right.
I think that's another thing. You know, people have so many things that they're passionate about, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you can't approach it with anger. You have to be slow to anger.
Because that's what's divisive.
Right. Absolutely.
And then people will tune you out immediately.
Absolutely.
And those are the people that you need to reach.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that's what's wrong with a lot of people nowadays. They're just angry.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? So I think it's already enough mental illnesses in our country. I think that's another thing that we need to address. You know what I mean? It's a lot of people that don't know where to put all these different feelings. Like, I talk about that. I talk about so many different things. I sound like a modern— I don't want to say—
Say it.
No, it's definitely the modern woman.
Yeah.
It's a modern woman record.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think now there can be a new understanding of that, or a new place of understanding mm-hmm. for that.
Yeah.
What that means.
Yeah.
I mean,
so many different places now.
I really wanted to ask you about the Kendrick song, Humble.
Yeah.
Because it's how fucking great is that
song?
And I saw that you posted about it.
Yes.
Yes. And talk about— there's so much controversy, and the idea that yes, we can. There's a slippery slope with wanting to promote the right things, you know, stand for the right things, and that there's almost a way that we can go too far. So, I wonder your feeling on, you know, Kim Carter Kim.
What's her? Do you know about this controversy? The model who's in the video, who was the photoshopped.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Model and then the non-Photoshop version of her, there's controversy about her not being black enough.
Oh my God!
And then there's controversy about his lyrics about, you know, if you be Photoshopped or don't be Photoshopped, I'm still going to fuck you on the couch. And that's misogynist. So there's like him, he's being accused of misogyny and also like not promoting black enough, you know, and she's not a size, she's probably only a size 8. She's not bigger, and her naked ass is like not whatever. So I just find that the fact that there's conversation that's talking about that he's not doing enough, or that I don't know where you stand on, like,
I don't think you can win. No, you know what I mean? You just can't win. I mean, here he is praising. I can understand everybody's side, to be completely, completely honest with you.
Totally.
First of all, I love the fact that he brought light to it. No one has brought light to it. If you watch every other hip hop video, like I remember even, I'm a chocolate girl. I remember watching like certain hip hop videos and I'd be like, why they got all light skinned girls in there? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So for me, I remember feeling like that. And then you see videos where they have just a plethora of different women. You know what I mean? It was already enough light skin, dark skin back in the day. No need to bring that stuff to the future. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. enough of that. Right. So how about all women from all walks of life? That's one. Right. Two, just the fact that he's saying it in a lyric, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And to me, that gave me freedom. I was showing my ass on the beach.
Right.
The next day, the same day, I felt comfortable enough. And I remember I was like, oh my God, because I didn't see the pap. I was in Australia. And I didn't see the pap till we were walking up. I said, oh, all my ass is out. And I was like, okay, but I'm confident. Kendrick said it was fine. He said it was fine. I have stretch marks. He said it was fine. And I literally felt comfortable. And I remember I called my publicist and was like, so tomorrow.
Get ready for this.
It's completely something different right now. And she was like, oh, girl, please. It's fine. And it made me feel more comfortable. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I must say, for me, that lyric made me feel comfortable. And when I saw the girl, her butt is bigger than mine. And it was a beautiful butt. Mm-hmm. And it looks like mine. Mm-hmm. And that's what made me comfortable. So right. I think that, like, digging into everything, you know, you can pick it with a fine tooth comb if you want to.
Totally.
But what's the reason?
Yeah. I know, I worry sometimes that we're too reticent to recognize our allies. Like, like when you were talking about how outspoken Trump is, I thought to say something about how the positive thing that has come out of this is that people are paying more attention and we're, like, cued into issues more and we're finding each other more. But then I know a lot of people responded to that point of view saying, oh, it must be so nice to be so privileged that you can be like, oh, it's great to have this terrible president because it's like making people pay attention. And you really can't win sometimes.
No, you really can't win. I mean, to me, Obama just goes down in history as being one of the most compassionate presidents we will ever have. Mm-hmm. You know, so for me, just think about the way every other country is looking at the United States of America. Like I remember as soon
I can't.
I because it literally makes you sick to your stomach. Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? And you're thinking it, for as many people that thought that he would be a great president, it's people who felt like he wouldn't. You know what I mean? And it's everybody's opinion. And, you know, we can break the whole thing down. But, like, if we just looked at that as an outsider looking in, that this, you would think that was your preference. That was our preference. Right. And everybody completely, this could not be more.
Right.
I don't want to use that word either, but it could be more different.
Right. Yes.
Okay. It couldn't be more different. And it's just, it's really crazy. I think you can't please anybody, but I do think that it's important to voice your opinion, but don't have any fueled anger behind it.
Yeah.
You have to realize that there's light at the end of the tunnel. You have to realize that we're a part of change. And I know that it gets frustrating because there's so many conspiracy theories and there's different people. You're like, well, that person is definitely not for me and this and that. You could actually be the next person to change that. I met so many people in office when I go to DC, and I'm able to meet all these different amazing people who are working tirelessly with bills and things that they're trying to like change in the White House, and like they aren't being heard as well.
Yeah.
Think about how frustrated they are. Think about how they have to go there every single day and put their passion and the things that they have, like thoughts and ideas, on the line. And you might be getting a boot every single day, but they go in there with vigor, with determination and boldness. It takes a lot of boldness and courage to go in there every single day.
Yeah.
And I know that there's a support system in there, but that would be tough to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. I want to ask you about the responsibility of bringing up a son now, of just gender alone, because like I have a lot of friends who are pregnant, have had sons, are thinking about having children, and worry about that particular issue of like, how do you raise a man to be the kind of man that women need in this world today? You know, it's like when they find out they're going to have a boy, it's like, oh, shit, I'm having a boy. It has to be the right kind of guy. You know, he has to be a feminist. He has to be like woke to all this shit. You know, it's like it's a lot of responsibility.
It is a lot of responsibility. As a matter of fact, I actually mentioned this in my book, Well, Baby, like as soon as I found out I was raising a son, I just wept. I wept so much because I remember thinking, what was it, like a year or two before that we lost Trayvon? So, I mean, and I realized why I was weeping. I realized why I was weeping because if I'm carrying my child, imagine what it's like to have a son, to watch him grow. And I think about how much, how close our bond is now. You can't even wrap that around your head because it would just completely, your heart would pour out of yourself.
Yeah.
And for me, it was overwhelming. And I remember praying in that moment. I remember talking to my sisters in that moment. I remember writing down the kind of mother I wanted to be. I remember writing down the type of son I wanted to raise, how I was going to raise him, what kind of people I would surround him with, what my goals for him, but making sure there was like more space on the paper for all of his goals because I didn't want to be that parent either.
Yeah.
So it was, it's so you learn every day. You know what I mean? But I always surround him with, you know, good men, good women from different walks of life, different perspective, different opinions, different sexuality preferences. I don't care what it is. And anything that he like might look at me and wonder, we explain everything to him.
Yeah, that's great.
And whenever he asks me a question, when he is talking in English, whenever he's asking me questions about something, I'm going to give him a clear answer because that's what he deserves. He's a little human.
Right. How old is he now? Two. Okay. So the questions aren't too complex at this point.
No, it's usually like, well, they're all in Spanish. He's learning Spanish.
Oh, really? Oh, is that what you meant by in English?
Yeah.
I thought you meant like baby talk.
Yeah. Well, that too. Last night I had a full on gibberish like conversation with my son with like some Spanish and English words thrown in there.
But wait, how's your Spanish?
His dad is non-existent.
Yeah.
But like
he's learning Spanish because of
his nanny.
Oh, Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Like, yeah, he speaks it fluently, like, goes outside and says something about trees and them being green. And
that's amazing.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
So you can learn from him.
Exactly. Yeah. His dad is learning. I'm very impressed with my husband. Yeah.
Good learn.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. So let's talk about the book.
Yeah.
Wow. Whoa. Right? Putting it all out there.
Yeah.
I mean, are you... How does it feel to have it out?
I mean, I think it's, for me, I never thought to write a book.
Okay.
I really, really didn't. I didn't care to write a book.
Yeah.
I
was does like, it feel vulnerable?
Yeah, it is. It is vulnerable. But for me, I'm not going to do anything anymore unless it's necessary.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean?
But you do so many things. I'm surprised that you wouldn't say to yourself, yes, I could see writing a book because you have your hand in all
a million
things.
Other things too.
No, no. This I felt was necessary because it wasn't anything out like it. I was like, oh, no, no, no. Let me go write this because women need to hear about it. And two, it needs to be completely honest. And three, that could be the guap.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Sure. So, yeah.
Yeah. All good reasons.
Were you looking for a book and you
not
you
at all. I wasn't looking for a book. And that's why I'm completely honest when I say this. I wasn't looking to write a book.
No, but were you looking
book.
To read about this
yes.
stuff?
And yeah. I could, because I was looking to find that book and I couldn't find it, I was really frustrated. I went to go visit my doctor. I was like, I don't understand. Like, I didn't have any questions before. She said, no mother ever does. It's every question in all of her message boxes are filled with what happens after.
Yeah.
She said, someone should write a book about it. I go, and that's us.
There you go.
We're writing that book.
Yeah, and had your doctor written a book before?
No. And by the way, she's so funny. We've like started, of course, doing press for the book, and she's like, I'm just so nervous. I don't know how to talk to people. I just talk to my patients. Like, I don't like this. Like, she's so funny.
So funny.
And that's why I wanted to do it with her, because she's so funny and very to the point. I love her bedside manner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny. We've talked in here before about, or privately more, Jesse and I have talked about, you know, when we're having conversations with female musicians, what is the...
Who are mothers.
With female musicians who are mothers, like, do we talk about that? Because being on tour, going on the road, record the lifestyle of a musician, of a touring musician, being a mother is an issue. It's a challenge. It's hard.
Being any working mother.
Being any working mother, exactly. Yeah. And so since we're having a music podcast, it's, you know...
working
but
musicians.
But we've sort of tended to stay away from that topic because...
Because it's become a little bit of an annoyance, I think, for a lot of women who have children to immediately be asked the question about, like, well, how do you do it when you have a kid when the men are not usually asked that question?
Well, because I'm sorry, but we're just a different level. Yeah. We're a different. I mean, I don't mean to be funny, but we're a different level of parenting.
Mm-hmm.
We really, really are. Like, the mothers are, and I'm not saying that the men are non-existent, but mothers are cornerstones.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, and men are too. But like, we tap into emotion. If it's not for us, like your emotional stuff is just off. Like, think about guys who are raised without their mothers. It's tough.
Mm-hmm.
They have a really, really tough life. And like, when they are raised with them, they know how to treat a lady. They know how to speak. You know what I mean? My husband and his mom are so close. I dated this guy before him who was a nut job because he had mommy issues.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that every guy is like that, you know, and everybody's going to be wired the same, because that's not it. That's
sure.
not what I'm saying at all.
Yeah.
But I am saying, like, mothers just carry a different place.
Uh-huh.
They really, really do. And I think that it's important to ask men how they do it too, but they don't do it like us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We're women. We do it better.
Yeah.
So
those will be new challenges to figure out once the record is out and you're going to go out and perform. And I mean, because probably now you're able to have
take
a schedule that, right.
Yeah. I'm able to take him everywhere. I mean, he comes with me to Australia right now as I'm doing the voice over there. But the first 2 weeks that I was there, he wasn't there. I was a completely different person. I was mean. I was really mean. I was missing him. I was in a bad mood.
Yeah.
I ate way too much. Like, you know what I mean? It really affected me. And now that he's with me, I went to go exercise. And you know what I mean? He just shifts my energy. And he's just my little world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's great that you wrote this book because, like, it's stuff that you don't think about until you have to, no matter how old you are. Like, we're in our 30s. We haven't had kids yet. And I have more anxiety about it now that I remember being in my 20s and sometimes thinking like, oh, if I got pregnant, like that'd be fun. It'd be like so it'd be so fun to have a baby. Like that would be really exciting and I'd figure
right,
it out.
The older we get, the more real.
Yeah,
the
more I'm like, fuck, like changes. Even though now I'm more capable of raising a child because I'm an adult right. and I kind of like know myself better. Yeah. But the anxiety sets in of like all the real world problems mm-hmm. and like what it does to your body. I'm like more in tune with my body now than I used to. And so I would yeah. be more concerned about what would happen to my body when I have a kid. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I touch on all of that in this right. book. And some of that stuff actually threw me for a loop. And I remember calling one of my girlfriends and I said, "You bitch." And she said, "What?" I said, "You are mean to me. Like, I can't believe you didn't tell me all these things. My stomach is stretched. It's the color of charcoal. I put a mirror down there, and I don't know what she looks like anymore. I don't know who she is." She, meaning my vajayjay. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like I was like, I don't know how to talk to my husband. I need him to help me, but when he does help me, but when he doesn't help me, I lose my mind. She was like, "First of all, calm down."
Yeah.
And she's like, "You're going to get through this the same way every other mother figured it out and got through it." And when she said that, I go, "Oh, okay. So what you doing?" Like, it, you know, we went back to talking right. about, like, just normal stuff. Like, she really had to calm me down because I was freaked out.
Yeah.
Really, were you in the process of writing at that time?
No. As a matter of fact, it was maybe later on that week, I went to go see Dr. Bickman. And that's when she said that more women have, you know, questions yeah. after. And I was like, "We're going right. to write this book."
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's awesome. Thank you for writing it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll look forward to it
yes,
one day.
Thank you.
Potentially a childbearing woman. No, we thank you.
It'll be a good gift. I have a lot of baby showers coming up.
Yes.
Oh,
it is the perfect baby shower gift.
Nice.
It'd probably be a fun party activity,
right,
too.
Exactly.
Yo.
Oh, my God. That's with a few drinks, idea. You know?
That is.
Can we turn it
get
into
get real.
Drink?
With a few drinks.
The single ladies can yeah. hear the drinks.
For the not pregnant ones.
I love this.
Or no,
oh,
this
pregnant women have a glass
baby.
Here and there. It's
yes.
fine.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I tried. My husband was like, "You're not drinking this."
So you stayed totally, no
oh,
drinks,
sober.
Nothing?
Well, I tried to even sneak it.
Yeah.
And a girlfriend of mine who's very close with my husband, she was like, "She's trying to drink wine." She sent him a text, and I was like, "I can't believe you just ratted on me." She was like, "Well, you just, you'd live with it, and you, I know you. You feel bad." I was like, "You're right. I would feel bad." So she did a good thing.
So no sips.
No, not even a sip.
Wow.
You know, there
That's
was
discipline.
One specific, yeah. really nice, like, glass of Merlot that was just waiting for me at the table. I'll never forget it. I was 7.5 months pregnant, and it looked so good with this steak.
Guys. Yeah, that's some
dedication.
That's, yeah, only yeah. a baby will do that.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I had an Italian friend once, though, who's pregnant, and because she's Italian, she smoked cigarettes, she drank wine, she drank
we're
coffee, she did the whole thing,
that.
And her daughter's perfect, and yeah. that, like, messes with my mind sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, that's how we were, you know,
no,
conceived.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. and like, I know a young lady, and her, they actually were raised in Italy, and she said that when they were kids, they drank wine.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Like, for holidays and stuff. I was like, what? She was like, and I'm fine. And
yeah.
she's brilliant.
Do you talk about your philosophy on that in the book, or is it really post-baby?
It's just post-baby.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just
no,
post-baby.
There's enough of that in every
yeah.
other baby
yeah,
book
right.
in
That's
the world.
Yeah. yeah, I feel like this one wasn't done.
Yes. Right,
this
exactly.
This one was the one I wanted to do. But all of that, like, no, I'm cool. I'll
yeah.
figure it out.
Right.
Can yeah. you say the full title of the book? I wonder if you pronounce the word, if you say the word.
Absolutely. Whoa, Baby, A Guide for New Moms Who Feel Overwhelmed and Freaked Out and Wonder What the Fuck Just Happened.
Woo!
On shelves now. Awesome. All right. Kelly, thank you so much.
Thank you.
This was awesome.
Thank
and
you.
We're so excited for the new album.
Thank you.
And I also feel like we should mention that Joey, our sound engineer here, said that you had one of the best episodes of Cribs ever.
Oh!
While we're all naming our personal favorites.
I don't even remember Cribs. But thank you.
Well, Joey said
we're
it was great.
About what a different era that was.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Anyway, very exciting.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thanks, Kelly.
Whatever, don't you dare slow down. Go longer, you can last more rounds. Push harder, you're almost there now. So go.
Thank you.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
We're all looking to make more sustainable choices, but making your own shoes out of natural materials could pose a few challenges. The twigs and leaves in your yard aren't exactly comfortable, and while mud does perfectly contour the feet, it doesn't score high on the durability front. But thanks to Allbirds, you can skip all the backyard experimentation. At the Allbirds Innovation Lab, they're doing all the sciencey stuff like research and testing to create shoes from natural, sustainable materials. And their innovative processes mean using less of the bad stuff and more of the good while making shoes unlike any other. Like the Plant Pacer, made with 100% plastic-free plant leather. The Tree Dasher, a running shoe made from eucalyptus tree fiber. And from Sugarcane, they've made the Superlight, their lightest shoe ever by weight and carbon footprint. It's not rocket science, it's shoe science. Allbirds is making shoes better than natural. They're supernatural. Find your perfect pair at Allbirds.com today. That's Allbirds.com.